Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
You get an invalid divorce, and then you go ahead and commit adultery by remarrying someone else. Are you living in constant adultery every day for the rest of your life with that new partner? No. Once you get remarried, that first marriage is totally severed, which means that new marriage is a real marriage recognized by God. So, what's the rule? The rule is divorce is adultery. And whatever exceptions there may be, if somebody's unfaithful or whatever, those exceptions notwithstanding, they're not the rule. They're exceptions to the rule. The rule is divorce is wrong. And if that's the rule and not the exception, then I think we would have to say it applies in most cases. Right? Which means most divorces and most remarriages are adulterous. If most divorces and remarriages are okay and just some of them are wrong, then we would have to say that the rule is divorce is okay and the exceptions are sometimes it's wrong. But that's not what Jesus says. It's the other way around. Most divorces are sinful. The typical divorce is adultery. You say, well, what's the typical divorce? I actually used to assume that most people got divorced because they were interested in someone else. They see someone else they'd rather, instead of, I'm divorcing you, I'm going with them. And certainly that's adulterous, obviously. If you get divorced because you're interested in someone else, then that's adulterous. But the more I've been around people who are getting divorced or contemplating divorce, the more I'm realizing that most people, I don't think, get divorced for that reason. I think the reason most people consider divorce is just simply because they can't stand their marriage any longer. It's just too painful. The suffering in that marriage has gotten to the point where it's just unbearable. And when that happens, it's usually not too hard to convince yourself and all your friends that you're perfectly justified in leaving. I mean, nobody should have to go through what you're going through. Nobody should have to take that. And at that point, we start to rationalize. We rationalize all kinds of things. You know, it was wrong for me to even get married in the first place. I had no business even marrying that person. And what he's doing is abusive. And God doesn't want me to be miserable. God wants me to be happy. And this whole thing's harming the children. And it's not good for anybody. And we think that way because the pain is just driving us to find a way out. I don't know if there's anything in life more painful than a hard marriage. I really don't know of anything in life at all that has inflicted more pain on humanity than marriage. A hard marriage where there's just constant fighting is relentless suffering. It's relentless suffering. There are some people you can be at odds with them and you can put it out of your mind, but not your spouse. It just hurts all day when you're at odds with your spouse. And it can get to the point where it seems unbearable. And so if you're in that, or if you're counseling someone in a situation like that, what would you say? I mean, what do we say to people like that? What is our message? What is the gospel message for someone who's in that degree of suffering? Do we just say, look, doesn't matter how much you're suffering. The only thing that matters is you don't break the rules about marriage. Is that all we have to say? If we tell people they can't get divorced, and they say, why? What's the answer to that? Why? Why does God forbid divorce in cases like that? That are so hard. I mean, you're miserable, she's miserable, the kids are miserable, everyone around you is miserable. Why not just... I mean, you just don't work together as husband and wife. You don't love her. She doesn't love you. You both feel like if you just wished each other the best and went your separate ways, you'd both be so much happier. But you can't because God won't let you divorce. Why? Why won't God just let you split up? You made a mistake. Just cut your losses. Everyone would be so much better off. Or would they? Would they be better off? I can assure you of this. I can promise you this. If that were true, if everyone would be better off, God would let you divorce. He would. If it were the best thing for you to divorce, God would not only allow it, He would command it. Because God always, always does only what's best. God does not enforce rules that are in nobody's best interest just because they're rules. He doesn't do that. People do that. God doesn't do that. We all know what it's like to deal with bureaucrats that do that. You know, some mindless bureaucrat who just can't make an exception to a rule. Even though it's obvious that it would be in everybody's best interest, he won't make an exception because he just cares more about regulations than about people. God is never like that. He's not like that. He never, ever, ever does anything other than what's best. Deuteronomy 32:4, He is a rock. His works are perfect. All His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. When God says you can't have something that you want, it's always because that thing is poison. No exceptions. He never forbids a good thing. So no matter how right it seems in your eyes, or how wrong God's way seems, there is never ever a time when your way is better than God's way. It's never. And you would think that would be self-evident, but it's just hard for us to accept, because sometimes it just really seems like we know what we're doing. Did you know that it's possible for God to know something that you don't know? I mean, again, nothing could be more self-evident than that, and yet so often we continue in the delusion that if I can't see what's good about this thing that God is doing, if I can't see what's good about it, it can't be good. If I can't understand what's good about it, it can't be good. And if I can't see anything wrong with my way, then there's no way it can be bad. It has to be good. What insanity that is. I mean, if God is infinitely wise and we're not, then of course there's going to be times when our puny, limited, infinitesimal little pea brain is going to think something is really best that's not best. Especially given the fact that not only do we have limited intellect, but we also have sinful hearts with messed up affections. So of course that's going to happen. If it's true that God is perfect and infinite and we're not, then we would fully expect that there would be lots of times when we would say, I can't even in my wildest dreams imagine how this way could be best. And yet it's still best. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. They're never wrong. You can trust His laws to never, ever lead in the wrong way. So if God tells you don't divorce and don't remarry, that's best for you. That is best for you, period. You would not be better off divorced. Staying married is best for you. It's best for everyone else. It's best for God's kingdom. It's best for your spouse.
Is there something God forbids that doesn't seem all that bad to you? If so, then it's an area of blindness where you aren't seeing reality like God does. We all have those. Study to discover why God hates that sin, so that your affections can be like His. It's important that we feel the same way God feels. And in the meantime, glorify Him by trusting that He knows something you don't know. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we can trust God to know better than us what's right and what's wrong? Now, if you're wondering why divorce is so wrong, why God hates it so much, what is it about it that makes it evil, then tune back in tomorrow. We'll cover that next time.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.